Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find 9 lines from the top of Daf Mem Aleph. The Mishnah. Shor shenogach es ha'odom umes. An ox gored a person and he died. Muad mishalem kofer. If the ox has demonstrated its regularity, its propensity toward goring, it's called a muad, and a payment is made, that's called kofer. We've discussed this in our previous shiurim. So the muad type ox will pay kofer. V'tam poter mina kofer. The tam, the docile type animal, will be exempt from the kofer payment in the event that it happens to kill somebody. V'zeh v'zeh chayova misa, both the muad and the tam as well, are to be stoned. They're subject to execution. V'chein beben, v'chein bebas. This expression is explained by Rashi. V'chein beben, v'chein bebas. Ben kota v'tineikis ketana. A young boy, young girl, chayavaleim skila v'koyfer k'dolim, the animal that kills them is to be executed through stoning, and a kofer payment is made, just like with regard to the killing of adult humans. The Mishnah continues, nogach eved o amo nosein shloshim sloyim. If the animal gored and killed a heathen slave or bondmaid, a payment is made, 30 sloim. Sloim is a denomination of currency. So 30 sloim are paid. Bein shu yofa mea mona, whether the slave happens to be worth 100 mona. Bein sheino yofa lo dinar echad, whether the slave is worth just 1 dinar. In other words, there's a standard payment called 30 sloim, regardless of the market value of that slave or bondmaid that was killed. The Gemara asks, we execute the animal even if as a tam it killed someone. So once it's been killed as a tam, muad hechi mishkachas la. How can the animal achieve a muad status? The muad status represents its goring 3 times. But if as a tam it killed someone and was executed, how can it ever reach the muad status that the Mishnah makes reference to? On the side of the Gemara we have a nosei / mivneh heading. And a house shape appears. These are hesberim, explanations, eich itochei muad, Shemeshalim es ha-koferim kvar niskal b'shah shahorag ketam. In addition to the basic house marking, you'll see a couple of these house with colored in tips. So these are hezberim shalom nidhu. These are explanations that are not rejected by the Gemara. So now we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rabba, hocha b'mayaskinon. The Mishnah is talking about the following. Kigon sh'om duhu l'shloisha b'nei adam. We look at Rashi at the beginning of the Gemara commentary, 3 lines down in the narrow lines. Sh'om duhu l'shloisha b'nei adam she'rotz achareyem zeh achar zeh. This animal ran after 3 people, one after the other. U'borchu mipon of these 3 people escaped. The umdu, and an evaluation was made. She'im lo borchu hayahargan. Had they not run away, had they not successfully escaped, the animal would have killed them. So the three chasings would constitute muad status, and hence when it eventually kills someone, it will pay kofar. The Gemara rejects this. Rav Ashi Yomar umdana lav klum hu. This idea of evaluation is of no halachic or legal consequence. Hello, hocha b'mayaskin, and rather, here in our Mishnah we are saying, kagon shesikain l'shloisha b'nei odom. Rashi, shesikain shloisha b'nei odom, l'fikoch lo niskal b'shtayim rishonim. The animal endangered three people. It didn't actually kill them, but it endangered them. Ukshanogach shlishi mesu kulam. When the third goring took place, then all of the victims died. Hilkoch mishalem olav kofar. Therefore, after that, if it kills another person, it will pay kofar. So that in this description, our question had been, wasn't the animal put to death initially upon its first killing? The answer is, upon the first killing, the second killing, the people didn't die. CK means endangered them. Their life was in danger because of the injuries they sustained, but they didn't die. When the third goring took place, so then all three died, and hence the animal at that point is still alive. Rav Zvid Omar kagon shahorag shloisha behemus. The muad status described in the Mishnah was gained because the animal had killed three animals, and then its fourth goring resulted in the killing of a person, kofar would be paid. But as far as if the question was how could the animal still be alive, the answer is it hadn't been sentenced to death prior to its fourth goring, because the first three gorings were the killing of animals, which doesn't result in the aggressor's death. The Gemara asks, though, umuad the behema v'muad l'adam, the fact that an animal has demonstrated its muad nature with regard to animal gorings, does that enable it to become a muad with regard to the killing of a person? Not so. This aggressor animal killed three idol worshippers. So for the death of an idol worshipper, the animal is not put to death. So it killed three idol worshippers, and at that point it gains a muad status, and a subsequent goring of a Jew will result in the kofar payment, where it kills a Jew. Question or rejection. Just because it's demonstrated its capacity for killing idol worshippers, does not make it a muad with regard to the killing of Jewish people. Elo Omar Reb Shimon ben Lokish kagon shaharag shloisha b'nei odom trefa. The animal killed three people. Each individual of these first three people were sickly people. Trefa is a type of congenital disease where an organ has developed a hole in it, and the person won't live anyway. For the killing of a person that's a trefa, the animal is not put to death. So the animal gained, however, its muad status by killing three trefa people, and as we said, the animal itself is still alive at this point, hence its next goring, its fourth goring, killing a regular person, a healthy person, would result in the kofar payment. Question. Umuad le trefa v'muad le shalem. Just because it had gored three trefas, does that make it a muad with regard to the killing of a shalem as a... Shalem means a regular, healthy, complete person, which would result in kofar? Not so. The fact that it happened to be mu'ad for trefa killings, that doesn't make it a mu'ad with regard to a healthy person. Elo Omar Rav Papa, the kotal v'orak la'agma, the kotal v'orak la'agma. The animal killed a person, killed a healthy person, but it ran away. this escape took place after testimony was said regarding the animal. So you have an animal killing someone, testimony to that effect, and then the animal runs away. And then it comes back and kills a second time. Testimony stated to that effect, but it runs away. And that will explain how we can see it killing three people, and the animal is still alive. Rav Acho Brei de Rav Iko Omar Kagon Shehuzmu Zoymimei Doymimin. This needs explanation, and we look into the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is about a third of the way down from the top. Shehuzmu Zoymimei Doymimin Kishenogach Shnei Negichos Rishonos. This animal, when it gored its first two gorings, Veheidu Bo Shnei Kitos. Let's read that again. Kishenogach Shnei Negichos Rishonos Veheidu Bo Shnei Kitos Eidim. This animal gored two gorings. It killed two people, and testimony was said to that effect. Bo kas achas vezimum. Another group of witnesses came in and declared the first two sets of witnesses to be liars through what we call hazoma, whereby this third set of witnesses came and said to the first two groups, how can you testify about the killings when you were with us in another location on that particular day? Ve'upatruhu, and they exempted, they declared innocent the animal and the owner. Ukshenogach negicho shlishis, then a third goring took place. Ve'idu bo, and testimony to that effect was stated. Bosukas hamazemes v'hazimon. Then that disqualifying set of witnesses came to knock off this third group, this third set of witnesses that comes to testify about a third goring. And the huzma oisa akas, the very group that demonstrated falseness concerning the first two groups, they themselves are found to be false. And not only on this last testimony, af al hazomos rishonos, their falseness is revealed with regard to their attempt to disqualify the first two testimonies as well. V'nimtza hashor muad u'mishalem kofer al hashlishis. And with this one disqualification of the witnesses that came to initially disqualify the first two witnesses, with their revelation as being liars, then all of the original testimonies come back to life, are shown to be, they're revealed as being having been true testimonies. So with that, we understand why the animal is still alive up till this point, because after the first two gorings, the testimony concerning them was declared false, so we had no reason to execute the animal. But now, those that had revealed those had testified concerning the falseness, are themselves shown to be liars. So the original testimony, all of the original testimonies come to the fore. And I dare say this all happens in one shot. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Honicha I liudei tura boinon shapir. This explanation fits in, works out well with only one of the two approaches to what we mean when we say something is muad. This opinion says yudei tura. Yudei means the declaring as muad the animal. So this explanation, shapir, means it's fine, it works out. The Gemara, way back on Daf Chof Daled, presented two opinions regarding what do we mean by muad. Do we mean the animal is muad, or do we mean that the owner is muad, is prone to allowing his animal to gore? So it's a muad status of the owner of the animal, is one who doesn't watch his animal. The Torah speaks about three gorings, and the three gorings are described as having taken place on three separate days, as opposed to three gorings on one day, three gorings on three successive days. As far as the opinion that says Yehudei Torah is concerned, the Torah requirement of 3 days is only with regard to the gorings themselves. The revelation of the three gorings might take place altogether on one day, where testimony is said regarding those three separate gorings as having taken place. We continue in the Gemara. Eloi Yehudei Gavra. If, however, the yi'od, the making into muad, is really a reference to the owner is shown to be muad in not watching his animal, and there is a requirement of 3 days. In the scenario that we presented, you don't have the owner as being as having been warned on three separate days in order to establish him as a muad. Meimar Omar Lay, the owner could say, well, lo hava yadana, I didn't know that my animal was a muad. We take a look at Rashi. Omar lo hava yadana, shnei negichos harishonos, de interay. I was not aware of the first two gorings. Had I been aware of the first two gorings, I would have been on guard, watched my animal. But I was not aware of the first two gorings. Rashi explains, Shehamazimin hit'uni, the falsifiers, those witnesses that came to say that the first two testimonies were false, they misled me into thinking that my ox is not a goring ox whatsoever. So that according to the opinion of Yehudi Gavra, this scenario of Shehuzmu Zoymime Zoymimin is not going to be a reason enough for us to say that now we have a case of Mu'od that will pay Kofar. As we explained, the owner has an excuse as to why his animal gored so many times without himself becoming Mu'od, as we just explained in the Rashi. So how, according to Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika, how are we to make sense, according to the opinion of Yehudei Gavra, that the animal becomes, that we achieve a muad status regarding the owner? Kagon, the Amri, when the second set of falsifiers come in, they test, those are the Zoymime Zoymimin, they are Mazim, the original Mazimin. They come in. They are the ones responsible for restoring the veracity of all of the previous goring testimony. They include in their testimony kol emas de kotel ture. Each time this animal killed someone, gabe have koi. The owner was there. So owner awareness, which this opinion holds, Yehudei Gavra, is certainly the case when you have witnesses testifying that the owners were present at each one of the gorings and saw what was going on, and hence they of course should have watched the animal, and allowing three gorings like that to take place will certainly categorize the owners as mu'ad in not watching the animal. Ravina Omar. Ravina explains, how is it that we can have an animal gaining a muad status for killing people when after the first goring and killing, you would have expected the animal to be put to death? So Ravina says, "Bemakirin es baal hashor ve'ein makirin es hashor." We look at Rashi. Ravina Omer Mishkachasol delo niska b'sham rishonas. The scenario of an animal not being put to death, not being stoned at the first two gorings, kagon sha'idim hamidim alav the witnesses that testify about the gorings, ain makirin es hashor. They don't recognize which animal did the actual gorings. Ubishlishi hukar, after the third goring, it became clear, became recognizable. The Gemara asks, "Mai have le lemevad?" If the owner was not informed of which animal did the gorings, what can we expect of the owner? Why should the owner have to pay kofar? Answer: Mishum the amri le, because the court will tell him, you know, you have an animal that we don't know which one it is, but your animal killed people. So we tell him, we, the court, will say, Tura nagchona yislach bebakroch. You have a goring ox amongst your herd. Iboya loch nituri kule bakroch. You should have been on guard regarding your entire herd. And therefore, the owner cannot seek exemption by merely having witnesses that initially testified that we know there's a goring ox, we didn't know which one. That's enough to have created responsibility on the part of the owner. And if this repeated itself three times, the fourth goring and killing of a person will obligate the owner to pay kofar. We quote from the Mishnah, Vizeh, Vizeh, Chayovin, Misa. The Mishnah mentioned that a shor, when it kills a person, it is to be executed by the court through stoning, whether it be a tam or a muad. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a quote from Shmois, Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Chof Ches, describing a shor tam, that v'chigach shor es ish o es ho isha umes, upon the goring of the animal's goring of a man or woman, and they die. Sokel yusokel ashor velo yeochel es bisoro, the animal is to be stoned, the meat is not to be eaten. Ubal hashor noki, that last expression will be dealt with by the Gemara. On the in the margin, the other margin, we have a topic heading which reads Droshos alapsukim lo yeocheles besoroi and bal hashor noki. We're going to see the Torah Shebal Peh explaining the oral tradition, explaining these phrases from the pasuk we just read. So the Gemara continues now with a brisa, Tana Rabbanan, Mimashma Shinemar Sokel Yisokel Hashor. From those words that the murderous animal is to be stoned, Eini Yodea Shinevela Hi, would I not recognize it as a nevela, a dead animal? After it's stoned, it's dead. And we use the term nevela in contrast with an animal that is shechted, that is, that had shechita done to it, that had ritual slaughtering done. A nevela is an animal that simply died. So an animal that's stoned to death, do I not understand that that's a nevela? A nevela asura b'achila. We know from other places in the Torah that a nevela is forbidden to eat. Ma Talmud Lomar, what is the necessity of the pasuk over here in Shmos Perichov Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches that we read, saying Lo Yeochel Es Besoro, do not eat the meat? That's obvious that I'm not going to eat the meat from the verse in the Torah that deals with the prohibition of eating nevela. The Gemara answers Magid Lo HaKosuv, the pasuk tells us Shim Shochtoi Liachar Shenigmar Dino Oser Bachila, that if you did proper shechita, even though it's proper shechita, but after the verdict has been rendered that the animal is to be stoned, the shechita is of no use and it's forbidden to eat. So Lo Yeochel Besoro is telling me that it's forbidden to eat the meat, even if you happen to do a proper shechita to it after the verdict. Ein li elo bachila, banominayin. From the pasuk it says, you shall not eat the meat. from where do I know that it's forbidden to even benefit from it? In other words, one would not be able to sell it or give it as a gift to somebody. Talmud Lomar, Ubal Hashor Noki. The end of the pasuk says those words. Now, literally, it means the owner of the ox is clean. Well, Umay Mashma, the Gemara says, how do you see in those words a prohibition of benefit? Shimon ben Zoma Omer, so Shimon ben Zoma explains, Ke'odam Shema Lechavero, like a man says to his friend, Yotzi Shploini Noki Minichosa V'ein Lo Bohem Ano Shel Klum. There's a common phrase in a common jargon is so and so has been wiped out. His business is wiped out. He's been wiped out. He had nothing left. There's nothing left to benefit from. And that's what it means over here, believe it or not, that so and so has gone, is cleaned out from his possessions, from his assets, and he has no more benefit from them. So that Ubala Sharnoki, the Torah itself uses that expression, he's been cleaned out, and hence no hano, no benefit from anything. So when the pasuk tells us not only slaughtering it after the Gemar Din does not enable you to eat it, it's still prohibited to eat, you can't even have benefit from it either. The Gemara asks a question. Notice it's a long question. From where do you know? From how are you so sure that from these words, lo yechs besoro, we learn lehecha deshachtei achar shenigmar dino shoser b'achila, that it's telling me after that if you slaughtered it after the verdict is in, you are prohibited in eating it. Emo tehecha deshachtei achar shenigmar dino shoser b'achilahu. I will suggest alternatively that if you slaughtered at a proper slaughtering, even though it's after the verdict, you're allowed to eat the meat. V'hai lo yechez besoro, le'echo desakli miskal, and the lo yechez besoro is telling me that where the animal in fact is stoned, the osir b'hanohu, the words lo yechez besoro are telling me the prohibition of benefit. Kidei Rabbi Avo, based on Rabbi Avo's teaching. In other words, we're not pulling this suggestion out of a hat. This suggestion is based on Rabbi Avo. Diomar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Lozer, Komokom Shenemar, wherever in the Torah it says, Lo Yeochel, or Lo Sochal, or Lo Sochlu, any one of these expressions, Echor Yisra Achilov, Echor Yisra No B'mashma. That, any one of these expressions includes the teaching that it's prohibited to eat and prohibited to benefit. Until you have a pasuk that tells me that you shall not eat something, but you are allowed to benefit from it, like selling it to an idol worshipper. That's what you find in the case of nevela. In the Torah, it says, you shall not eat nevela, but rather give it as a gift to a non-Jew, or sell it to an idol worshipper, which is a form of benefiting from it. So that, according to Rabbi Avo, in general, if the Torah says, thou shalt not eat, without specifying the form of benefit that you're allowed to receive from it, the prohibition of eating is actually inclusive of a prohibition of benefiting as well. And what does the Torah in fact say by nevela? Lager ben asina ulove kechov ben achira. The ger is a ger toshav, a non-Jew accepted upon himself seven Noahide laws, who dwells amongst us in Israel. That's a ger, the ger toshav. Here, to him, one is expected to give gratis the nevela. If you happen to have an animal that died or the shechita was botched up, give the ger toshav the nevela. Or if you don't have that option, give it to an idol worshipper, sell it to an idol worshipper. That's b'mechira, which are forms of benefit. So let's just go over the main point of this question. How is it that you're so convinced that Lo Ye'ochel Es Besoro is teaching me the prohibition of eating an animal that's shechted, a murderous animal that's shechted after the verdict? Maybe, in fact, the shechita of a murderous animal after its verdict allows it to be eaten. And the Lo Ye'ochel Es Besoro is telling me the prohibition of benefiting from it, the murderous animal, if it, in fact, is stoned, as the verdict dictates. And the idea of prohibition of Hanah being derived from the words Lo Ye'ochel is not something unusual. We have the Rebbe Avo teaching precedent for that. The Gemara responds, Amri, and this, by the way, is a long answer. Hani Mili, when is it that Lo Ye'ochel Es Besoro, that Lo Ye'ochel teaches me a prohibition of benefit? Hecha denofik lei isur achila veisur hano mikro de Lo Ye'ochel. That's when the Lo Ye'ochel pasuk teaches me the prohibition of eating as well. So that if the Lo Ye'ochel verse is responsible for the prohibition of eating and the prohibition of benefit, we'll call that a package deal, so then Lo Ye'ochel can fulfill that role of being the source of prohibition of benefit as well. Avol hocha, the isur achilo misoko yisokel nafka, but in the case of our murderous animal, the prohibition of eating is learned from the fact that the Torah commands you to stone the animal. A stoned animal is prohibited to eat simply because it didn't have a proper shechita. So I know the isur of eating from sokol yisokel. And therefore, the Lo Ye'ochel is not teaching me the prohibition of eating, and therefore it cannot be the source of the Isur Hanah. The Lo Ye'ochel serves as a source of Isur Hanah only when it is also the source of Isur Achila. Isalka Daito Chai Lo Ye'ochel Es Besoro Isur Hanah Hu. If you were to think that Lo Ye'ochel Es Besoro is the source for Hanah alone, the prohibition of benefiting, then Nichtov Rachmano Lo Yehoneh, it would have been more appropriate for the Pasuk to speak in more direct or more clear terms. Do not benefit, instead of Lo Ye'ochel. Inami, or even according to you, that you want Lo Ye'ochel Es Besoro to be the source for Isar, no, say Lo Ye'ochel. Say just those words. Es Besoro Lomali. Why does the Torah add Es Besoro? The Af Al Gav, the Avde Ke'ein Boser De Shachte. The Es Besoro phrase, in fact, shows me what we said originally, that if you treated the animal as you would treat meat, namely, shechting it, slaughtering it, in order to be able to eat the meat, and you did that, you slaughtered it after the Gemar Din, after the verdict, Oser, it is prohibited to eat from it. Maskif lo marzutra. Emo hanimili. He suggests maybe the prohibition of eating from the shechted shor haniskal. Shor haniskal is the term for the murderous animal. Maybe the prohibition of eating from the shechted, from the slaughtered murderous animal. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hecha de bodak tsur v'shochad bo. The avde ke'ein skila. That's where you found a very sharp-edged rock, a smooth, sharp-edged rock, and used it as a slaughtering device. We'll call it a slaughtering knife. By slaughtering it with a rock, so you did, in effect, a type of stoning. Avol, and that is the prohibition of eating the meat that's slaughtered. after the verdict, when it's slaughtered with a stone. But if you slaughtered with a proper metal knife, then it wouldn't be usher to eat. The Gemara rejects that it and says it will nevertheless be usher to eat. Amri, otu sakin ksiva boraisa. Does the Torah demand specifically when the Torah speaks about the need to slaughter? Does it speak specifically about slaughtering with a metal knife? The Mishnah elsewhere says, "Ashechet b'magal yad b'tzur u'bekane shchitaso k'shera." If a person uses any one of these examples, a magal yad is a certain type of a harvesting implement, a tzur, a rock, a kone, a reed, that any one of these that are capable of cutting, provided that they are smooth without any notches in them, the shechita is acceptable. So that the shechita is a shechita regardless of whether a stone is used or a knife is used. There's no basis for making such a distinction. So that the halacha at this point in the Gemara is that an animal, a murderous animal that's been slaughtered after the verdict, is prohibited in being eaten. Now that last point is actually quite revealing. Think about this. Lo ye'ochel es besoro, in fact, does serve as a prohibition, a basis of prohibiting eating. What did we say before, according to Rabbi Avo? According to Rabbi Avo, we said that when lo ye'ochel serves as a prohibition concerning eating, it can also serve as a prohibition regarding benefit as well. And that having been said, the Gemara says, v'hashta, and now, denafkole isur achilo v'isur hano, milo ye'ochel es besoro, that very pasuk does serve as a source for an eating restriction. And according to Riavo, once that is the case, it is also the source for a prohibition of benefiting. Oh, so now, Baal HaShor Noki Lomali, what am I going to learn from Baal HaShor Noki? Did we not say earlier in our discussion that Baal HaShor Noki was the source for Isur Hana? But now, the source for Isur Hana is in fact Lo Ye'ochel Es Besoro. So what am I going to do with the phrase Baal HaShor Noki? Note, by the way, we have a Roman numeral number 1. You'll see there are two schools of thought, two approaches in how to darshan the Baal HaShor Noki phrase. But in the meantime, number 1 is what are we going to do with it? Answer, Lanos Oiro. It still serves the role of prohibiting benefit, but here, more specifically from the skins, from the leather, the skin of this stoned animal. I have a special teaching that the skins are also prohibited. Why do you need a special pasuk for the skins? The Salka Daita Chamina, without this pasuk, without this phrase, I would have thought, Besorahu de Osir Bano, Avaloro Nishtari Bano, that only the flesh, the meat, is prohibited to benefit from, but the skins are okay. You can benefit from them, from the stoned animal. Komash Malon, Bala Shornoki. Baal HaShor Noki comes to reject such thinking, and not only is the meat usur, but the skins are also prohibited to benefit from. The Gemara asks, "Ulahanach Tanoi, according to other Tanoim, then mafkile lahai Baal HaShor Noki lidrosha achrina kideboinon lemeimar kamon." According to other Tanoim, that will be featured later in the Gemara, that use Baal HaShor Naki for alternative teachings. Hanoas Eiru Minol Lehu, where will they learn the prohibition of benefiting from the skins of stoned animals? Nafkalahu, they will learn it. May es besoro. The word es we've dashed, underlined. Es hatofel lebesoro, that which is subsidiary to the meat. And mind you, what is subsidiary to the meat? Oro, the skin. The skin is less significant than the meat. So we have then the other tanoim that we will see later, learning the prohibition of skin benefit from the word es. V'hai tana, what an our tana that learned the Isur Hanoah of ore, of skins, mibal hasharnoki, es lo dorish. Notice we have a long marking here. We're making a point. And the point is that there is a tana that doesn't see significance in terms of legal revelation from the word es, and his name is Shimon HaMsuni, or another version is Nechemya HaMsuni, as is revealed in the following Tanaic source. The source says, Kidisanya, Shimon HaMsuni, the Amri Law, another version, name-wise, is Nechemya HaMsuni, Hoyadoyresh Kol Esen Shebetora. The word Essen is the plural form of the word S. He had a practice, he had a formula, if you will, for deciphering what the word S anywhere in the Torah teaches. Kevon Shigia, when he reached the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Le'es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and you shall fear the Almighty God, you see the word S in that Pasuk, Piresh, he desisted, he stopped his, he abandoned, we'll say, his formula for darshaning S. The word S is to include, is there to include something else. And coming upon this pasuk, how can you include the concept of fearing anything in addition to the Almighty God? God is is one and only, alone, the singular, the singular individual, the singular entity that is, we'll say, deserving of fear. So that he saw, here you have the word S, and whatever formula he was using for deciphering the role of S as an inclusive expression fails the test over here. Amru lo Talmidov. His students, the students of Shimon HaMsuni, said, Rebbe, kol esen shedarashta ma te'alan. What about all the S words that you explained up till now? What's going to be with all of those revelations? Amar Lohem, he responded, he says, Kishem shikibati schar al adrisha, just as I received reward for my efforts in explaining S until now, kach kibati schar al haprisha, I will likewise receive reward for my my departure. Ad shebar Rabbi Akiva v'limed, until Rabbi Akiva came and said that Es Hashem Elokicha Tira is in fact inclusive of something additional. Es Hashem Elokicha Tira equals l'rabbis talmidei chachamim. Comes to include the obligation of having awe, respect, fear of Torah sages, of great rabbis. One might want to understand this as the idea of fearing of rabbis is not in any way, heaven forbid, something that's inherent to the rabbi himself, but rather the rabbi represents the extension of the Torah which is God's word. The rabbi represents the expositor of the oral tradition, and as such, he fits into the scheme of Hashem Elokecha, the Torah being the word of God Almighty Himself. The rabbis representing those that are that maintain the oral tradition, that explain God's word. So in that capacity, we are commanded to have fear and respect of great Torah sages as well. But heaven forbid that one should think that any rabbi is worthy or deserving of fear in isolation, separate from the fact that he is connected to the Torah, which is the word of the Almighty God Himself. The markings that appear now, you can see a new bow tie shape, and on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, the structural note, the bow tie represents Droshos Tanoim al Baal Hashor Noki. We mentioned in our discussion several lines above that there are other Tanoim, another school of thought that uses Baal Hashor Noki to reveal other things other than Hanoas Oiroi. So the marking, the bow tie marking, is used to introduce them. So we have number one over here, and you'll see number two, the fifth line from the top of Omid Beis. We continue with our note. So we've indicated that number one, Noki Mechatzi Koifer, Bala Shonoki comes to teach me that when a Shor Tam kills, there is no payment obligation on the part of the owner for a half kofer. It's true that when a short tam, when a docile animal renders damage, so the owner pays half damages, but that concept of half payment does not extend to the kofer payment, which is the payment made to the heirs of the of an individual killed by an animal. Number two, Noki midamei vlodos. Then, in the event that an animal causes a woman to miscarry, so the payment for the miscarriage is not made by the owner of the animal. And number three, we'll see Noki midamei eved, an exemption for paying for a slave that is killed by a murderous animal. The payment for a slave being killed, the Torah speaks about paying 30 shloshim kesef. And that will not be paid if a shor tam, if a docile animal, is responsible for the killing of a heathen slave. As opposed to a case where a shor amuad kills a heathen slave, there the payment of shloshim kesef, of 30 pieces of silver, is in fact an obligation. As far as today's shiur is concerned, we're going to focus on the first of the bow ties, the first rasha. Tanu Rabbanan, uval hashor noki, a shor tam killed someone. The pasuk tells us that the owner is noki. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Noki Mechatzi Koifer. Rabbi Elazar says that the pasuk tells me the owner is exempt from paying half kofer. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Elazar, what you're teaching is obvious. Vahalo hu atzmo ein mishtalim elo migufo. When a short tam damages, the payment is made from the animal itself. It's not a payment that the owner of a short tam is obligated to make is not drawn from the owner's assets, but it's from the animal itself. Heviola Basin Vishalim Loch. Bring the animal, bring the carcass into Basin and use that as a means of collection. And it's not worth anything. Not only that, but it's prohibited to benefit from it. So it's obvious that the owner of the short tam that kills someone, no payment is going to be made. Rashi, in the upper part of the Rashi commentary in the upper part of the narrow lines, Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, pshita de potter, valo im chayav hoya, even if the owner was obligated, ain't tashluma velo migufo. The payment would be made from the body of the animal itself. This animal has been stoned. What's he going to pay from? Yomulo Bailim, the owner will say, bring the carcass into Beis Din and collect your payment from that. And the carcass is not worth anything. So it's to say that the Bala Shornoki is the owner is going to be exempt from paying Chatzi Kofer, that's kind of obvious. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Now, we have a Roman numeral number 1 here, in anticipation, of course, of a Roman numeral 2 that you'll see on the first of the wide lines, and you'll see the purpose in that numbering very shortly. So, Omar lo Rabbi Lezer, Kachani beinecha shedini bozer shechayav misa. When I said that there's an exemption of chatzi koifer, do you think that I'm saying my teaching in the context of an animal that's chayav misa, that's put to death? Ein dini elo, my revelation, my teaching, my law is only kishehemis es ha'odam al pi eid echad o al pi bailim. It's where the murder or the death of the person, the killing of the person, was in the presence of one witness, which is not sufficient for the courts to, that's not testimony that's sufficient for the courts to act upon according to Jewish law. You need to have a minimum of two witnesses. So the death of the person at the force of this animal took place in the presence of one witness, by the word of the owner of the animal, and in either of these cases, the animal is not put to death. So that what you, Rabbi Kiva, said is that it's quite obvious that there's no payment because the payment would be made from the carcass anyway. That's not true. There's no carcass in this picture because the animal is not put to death. So the pasuk reveals that nevertheless there's no chatzi kofer payment. The Gemara focuses on a detail before it gets to our number 2 drasha. Al pi bailim, this last point, the pasuk is dealing with an exemption of chatzi kofer when the owner confesses. Well, that's very obvious. Mode biknasu. Of course the owner is exempt there. He is, I don't need a pasuk to tell me about the exemption. The owner there has admitted to a knas type payment. And the rule is that one who confesses on his own to knas type payments, knas obligations are those obligations that are not mamon. They are payments that don't correspond, that the Torah obligates, but don't correspond to the actual financial value or financial loss involved. So when a person confesses, my animal killed, that's called modeh biknas. Even if it had been discovered, the killing was discovered by witnesses, so the payment of the kofer payment and all that, that's not a straightforward mamon payment. So being that he's confessing the murder of the person, the killing of the person, the owner is exempt from that standpoint. So what is Rebbe Lezer's suggestion that Bala Sharnoki tells me the exemption of Chatzi Kofer when I would know that anyway from the Moide Biknas standpoint? The Gemara answers, Kosovar, he is of the opinion, Kufra Kapora, the payment of Kofer is a payment for atonement. And in order to achieve atonement, a person has to pay Kofer. If I didn't have the Pasuk of Bala Sharnoki, I would have thought that since the owner needs atonement, needs expiation, let him pay half Kofer for his short time that killed someone. Therefore, the Pasuk comes to preclude that even though the kofer payment is kapara, is a form of atonement, nevertheless, the half payment of kofar is not something that is to be made. Before we go further, we have a note on the side, the Nosei/Mivneh heading, where we feature our Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Drushas Shenemru al Yedei Rabbi Lezer. Two teachings in the name of Rabbi Lezer, Ma Hachidush Baal HaShernoki. What does the phrase Baal HaShernoki come to reveal? The Tam Potter Mechatzi Koifer. L'cha'ira, the Zub Pshita Me'achar the Tam Eino Mishtalev Elo Migufo. The reason for questioning Rabbi Lezer's teaching of the exemption of Chatzi Kofar is that it seems to be terribly obvious, insofar as what we said earlier, a tam, which is the subject of the pasuk, pays from its body v'uniskal, and it's been stoned. Mimai yishalim as demei ahorug. What other means of paying for the value of the killed victim is there going to be? So I, even without Baal HaShernoki, I would know the exemption spoken of, the exemption of Chatzi Kofar. So we saw Rabbi Elezer's response already. Number one, we saw, and you'll notice we had a house marking, and it says in our note, Havlotus, these are accentuations, highlightings, for understanding more later, and the diamond marking, you'll see three lines from the bottom. Those will be shnei lishonis berav laz be'ezu drasha omar blazer bereisha. Which one of these two drushas would Reb Elezer have said first? But in the meantime, in explaining himself, Reb Elezer says, "My use of Baal HaShernoki is not in the case of an animal that's been stoned. There, as Rabbi Akiva says, it's obvious that no payment would be made, because payment in the case of an animal that's payment for a short tam anyway comes from the body. And if the animal's been stoned, there's no other means of paying for the short tam's damage. So Rabbi Lezer said, we're not talking about a case where it was stoned, and hence the claim of Rabbi Akiva that it's poshet, that the body would be used to pay is not the case over here, because we're not dealing with an animal carcass. It hasn't been stoned. And the thinking was that since kofar is a form of atonement, Maybe he should have had to pay. Therefore, the pasuk tells me not so. Tanya idach. A second brisa. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Akiva kachani beinecho shedini bozeh shechayev misa. You think that I'm teaching Baal HaShernoki the exemption for chatzi kofar in a case where the animal is stoned? Ein dini ela b'miskavein laroiges habehem of arges odom. My teaching concerns a case where the animal that eventually killed the person was an animal whose intent was to kill another animal. But whatever happened, the result was a person was killed. In such a case, the animal is not stoned, so the living animal continues to exist. L'mitzri v'horag Yisrael, or the animal had intent to kill an Egyptian, an idol worshipper, and it ended up killing a Jew. Once again, the animal would not be put to death. L'nefilim v'horag ben kayomo, or the animal had intent to kill a nephel. A nephel is a baby that didn't experience a full term pregnancy. It's a person. It's a description of a person that's not going to live anyway, and it intended to kill that. But it ended up killing a ben kayam, a regular healthy person. In all of these examples, the animal remains alive. So Rabbi Lezer was saying that even though the animal remains alive, and nevertheless, no half kofar payment is going to be made. Now, in looking at these two Tanaic sources, you can focus on the house marking. We have Hamas and Sa'odama Piyed Echad was one case, or Miskavin Argus Abayim Argus Sa'odam was a second case. Hey, Omar Le Beresha, which one of these two drushes did Rebbe Lezer say first? As far as the significance of that, I think it'll be clearer to us as we go on in the Gemara. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rav Omar Miskavein Omar Le Beresha. This is the first version of Rava's, Rav Kahana's version of Rava is that the second drasha, you see, Miskavein, that's the word we have in our house marking, that was said first. And Rav Tavyumi Mishmei, even though, by the way, even though in terms of the Gemara it's printed as Roman numeral number 2, but chronologically speaking, Rebbe Lezer said that one first. And Rav Tavyumi Mishmei de Rav Amar Hamas Amar Le Beresha. The word Hamas, you'll notice, is the word in the first house marking. That is the drasha he said first. We look it together at Rashi. Miskavein Amar Le Beresha. Rashi is the last Dibur Masil, about 8 lines from the end. The second source chronologically was really said earlier. Deraya Gedolahi. That source represents a greater revelation. Something that I might not have thought of on my own. I need pasuk power to inform me that in such a case there would be a chatzi koifer exemption. Avohemis al piyed echad, the teaching concerning the animal that remains alive as a result of the testimony of one witness. Raya Ktanahi, it's a small revelation. Deika l'osove moide b'knas poter ube'ed echad nami ikolamemar pshita delo mechayev. What was pointed out in that source, that the animal remains alive because of the testimony of one witness or the owner confessed, that's even without the pasuk of Bala Sharnaki, I know owner exemption through the concept of Moide B'Knas Potter, and Eid Echad as well, that's obvious, the Lo Mechayev, the animal is not going to be killed there. Of course the animal remains alive. The Hotrei Boinon Lafuki Mamona, you need two witnesses in order to extract a money payment. V'afilu gabi muad nami potter, even in the case of a shor hamuad, the animal would not be put to death if you had the testimony of just one witness. So that as far as Rav Kahana, in the name of Rava, is concerned, the first drasha is either obvious or borders on the obvious. And you don't need to teach me an exemption of paying chatzi kofer from Bala Sharnoki in either of those cases. I would have come to that conclusion anyway. The second source is not so obvious, where an animal has intent, let's say, to kill, has murderous intention to kill one entity and ends up killing a person, there I really need the pasuk of Bala Sharnaki to teach me the exemption of the owner of paying chatzi koifer. Now, we continue in the Gemara, reviewing the two opinions. We're reading from the second line from the bottom, at the end of the line, Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rava Omar Miskavein Omar Le Beresha. The case of Miskavein Larug as Abayim Rogas Adam was really stated first. Moshal, the analogy to Rebbe Lazar's, we'll say, revelations, if he started with that and then he went on to tell me, we'll say, the more obvious point afterwards, We have a muscle, an analogy to appreciate that kind of, we'll say, that kind of learning. Moshe Litzayid, the analogy to a fisherman, Sheshele Dogim in Ayam, that draws fish from the sea. We continue at the top of the Afmem Beis. Mashkach Rava Vishokil, he finds a large fish and he takes it. Zutri Shokil, and upon recognizing that he has room to store small fish as well, he takes that as well. Rashi at the top says, Mashkach Ravavi Beresha Shokiluhu. If he finds a large fish, he'll take that. Vechihodim Mashkach Zutri Shokil, when he finds small fish, he'll take them as well, keep them as well. Hochanami, here too, Afagav the Raya Gedoilom Arle Beresha. Even though Rav Elazar stated a significant revelation initially, when he found a smaller revelation, he said that as well. Rav Tavyumi, Mishmei de Rava, Omar Hamis, Omar Leber Resha. Rav Tavyumi's approach that said that the Hamis revelation, the Hamis Al Pi Echad or Al Pi Atzmo, was stated first. Moshe Litzayid Shishela Dogim in Ayam. It's analogous to the same fisherman that's drawing fish from the sea. Mashkach Zutri Shokil. If he finds small fish at first, he takes whatever he can get, so to speak, even small fish, thinking that he's not going to find any more. So that's what he has. Ah, Mashkach Ravri, when he finds a larger fish, he'll take that Shodi Zutri Vishodil Ravavi and throw out the small fish that he had found initially on the consideration that he doesn't have enough space to store everything that he finds. So he throws away the small ones and then opts to keep the larger ones. So too, in our Gemara, Reb Elazar said the lesser significant revelation first. And because at that point he wasn't aware that there was a greater revelation to state. Then when he said the greater revelation, he said, you know what, that I don't need Bala Sharnoki to tell me about the exemption in the case of Hamas Al Pi Echad or Al Pi Atzmo, when that exemption is obvious even without the Pasuk of Bala Sharnoki. You can see that a bow tie follows, which represents a second drosha of Bala Sharnoki, the second of the school of those Tanayim that don't use it for the Easter of Hanas Oro. But we've gone beyond our strict, well, Daf Yomi limit, and Mirza Shem in our next year will pick up with this drosha. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.